Now, how well does your best friend know you? And how do you think their judgment of you would compare with what a computer would conclude? Well, new research out this week in the journal PNAS says that the computer would probably win. Cambridge scientist David Stilwell has created a computer program that can use the things that you like on Facebook to make detailed personality judgments. Interestingly, as few as 10 likes provide a more accurate picture of you than a work colleague can. David's with us to tell us how it works. Hello, David.
Hello.
Well, how did you do this study?
Well, this is the combination of about 8 years research. So in July 2007, we put a test on the Facebook social network and got people to take the personality test and then get feedback on the results. And as part of that, they could opt in to share their Facebook likes. So over the past 2 or 3 years, we've been interested in how accurately can we predict someone's personality just from their Facebook likes.
In other words, by trawling across a lot of data about what people self-select to say that they have a liking for, then you're able to draw conclusions about what sorts of things in general would be true of that particular person.
Exactly. So there are about 100 billion things that people can like on Facebook. So they've got a massive choice to choose from. And on average, people like about 220 different things.
Do you have to be a very prolific user of Facebook for you to get an accurate appraisal?
Well, given an average number of Facebook likes, the computer is actually as accurate as someone's spouse at understanding their personality. So that's more accurate than their family, more accurate than their friends, and far more accurate than their work colleagues.
When you say you know them better than their spouse, what sorts of things can you say you know?
Well, so this is based on the self-report questionnaire that people did. So we measured 5 traits in the self-report, and these are the so-called big 5 personality traits. It's quite broad factors, such as how extroverted you are, how open to new experiences, or how sort of agreeable, so that means interested in social welfare versus quite competitive.
Are there wider implications and uses of this?
So the immediate implications are for personalising people's online experience, so deciding which adverts you view and hopefully making those adverts more relevant and more interesting to you. So that's not just selling you different things, but also selling you the same things in different ways. So let's say I'm interested in charities. So if I view a charity website, if I'm a very conscientious person, so interested in sort of numbers and statistics, then the charity could give me more information about what the charity is doing. If I'm in a more emotional person, then the charity could tell me stories and show me pictures. So the same thing is being sold, but in different ways.
What's really new about this, though, David? Because is this not pretty much what credit card companies have been doing by watching what I buy, where I buy it, and when I buy it for decades to build up a profile knowing more about my purchasing habits than I do?
Well, I mean, what's different about predicting personality as opposed to just correlating people who buy this also buy that? And what's different about personality is, as I say, you can sell the same thing in different ways. And you can also get an understanding of, you know, what is this person that I'm selling to? So, I mean, for me, it's more of a throwback to the past. In the past, you used to go to a shop and the shopkeeper would treat you like an individual person and would sell to you as an individual, knowing your psychology. When the internet came along, that kind of went away. And in the name of efficiency, we gave everyone the same experience. But now we can go back to kind of the possibility of treating people like individuals rather than just numbers.
And lastly, how does this go down with consumers? Do people think this is a good idea, or are people concerned?
Well, I personally find it quite creepy that it's possible to make these predictions. I think
you invented it.
It's not just my predictions, but even the other predictions that are being made. And I think the reason I find them creepy is that I don't understand why I'm seeing the things I do online. So Facebook showing me adverts, Google showing me adverts, you know, lots of companies are showing me things, and I don't understand what data they're using behind the scenes to make those predictions. And that doesn't have to be the case. A company could say, they show me an advert and it could say, you're seeing this because you're an extroverted person or because you're well organized.
David, thank you very much. David Stilwell, we'll look out for what we like on Facebook in future a bit more carefully.
You are listening to The Naked Scientists with Chris Smith and with Kat Arney. Coming up, signs that the building blocks of life might have formed in ice clouds in outer space, and also the latest breakthroughs in the science of sleep. Stay tuned to hear about how to control your dreams, why you sleep talk, and what happens when you don't get enough.
Before that, though,